Hi, friend. I'm Sarita, and this is Missionary Life.
I'm here to help you live your dream life on and off the mission field. I'm an author, life coach, former missionary, compassion fatigue, and grief expert, and working mom. I want to encourage you to design a life of purpose, authenticity, ease, and meaning where you're no longer surviving but thriving. I'm here to help you, the helpers, become emotionally, spiritually, and physically healthy. I'll interview experts in mental health and missionaries to offer you practical tools to help you heal from trauma, burnout, grief, and PTSD. I know that life often doesn't work out the way we long for. I'm here to create a safe space to navigate those disappointments and transitions with abundance so you can live your mission. My new book, Healing Her, a memoir, will be released in June 2024, and I can't wait for you to get it into your hands. Thank you for being here. All right, hi, and welcome back to another episode of Missionary Life. I'm Sarita Hartz, your host, and I'm here today with Shauna Ingram. And today we're going to be talking about re-entry and leaving well. And so we're going to be talking about a trauma-informed approach to re-entry and going through that experience, as I know that so many missionaries go through the difficult process of re-entry, myself included. It was a rocky re-entry for me. And so we really need resources and tools to help guide us through that process. And so I'm so excited to have Shauna here with me today. Hi, Shauna.
Hi, it's good to be here.
Yeah, I have loved your writing and all of your stuff on re-entry. And so can you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So I've been a part of missions world for about 15 years, both on and off the field. We were in East Africa in Tanzania for 5 years and came back about 10 years ago, and have worked in missionary care the whole time. So seen the whole missions cycle, the whole cycle.
Yes, for sure. And you have a website, and you do work with missionaries who are returning. And I think you have a book out as well.
Yeah. I've got actually a couple of workbooks. We do groups. I have a new book coming out about what the church needs to know about trauma.
That's so awesome. Yes, so important. The church needs to know more about trauma. I totally agree. So I thought I'd start out with a quote that I've actually written in one of my books about what it felt like for me going through reentry. And so I said, "Transition felt like navigating the world underwater. My ears full of pressure, sounds muted, and movement slowed. The landscape was blurred and shifting like coral drifting and wafting with the tides. The world felt dampened somehow, and at the same time, acute. Acute because of all the survival instincts and trauma brain were firing with new environments and fresh dangers. It was strange to feel both deadened and like my skin was prickling with electricity at the same time." So I wrote that about transition. I know that when we go through transition, it can be so disorienting. And I'd like to just hear some of your personal story of transition and reentry. I know you must have a story that brought you into this work. And so I'd love to hear a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So I was thinking about that. And I was thinking about, like, if I wrote a book about my life in missions right after we came back, you know, it would sort of be the one that, okay, we understand God and, you know, just do what he says and everything will be well.
Yeah.
And then I went through the reentry season.
Yes.
And, we came back, we felt like we came back well. It was sort of planned. We had finished some projects that we had been working on. We felt like our job was to make sure that the new people on the field were doing well. We felt like we had done that well. And then we came back and thought we were going to stay with both of us were going to stay with our organization. Mm-hmm. However, some of our churches and people decided that you're back in America now, so you don't need support. That was a really stressful time, which led to a time of being physically ill. We had 4 children that were in school, and they were going to school, and they were coming back saying, "We're not American,"
you
know. Yeah. And yeah, so it was just, you know, it was just really one thing on top of another on top of another, and I didn't have time to process. I hadn't really been able to process what happened on the field, and I was just sort of in this, like, there's something happening, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And so I felt like, well, what, you know, what does that mean? And then, I went to counselor. Oh, you're just in reentry. I felt like it was something a little bit more, but I didn't really know. Again, I didn't really have words. I didn't really have vocabulary to have a space to really be able to process that. Yeah. So, I was actually being on the missionary care team. My supervisor said, "Hey, there's this trauma training that would be really good for everybody." And I said, "Well, that's great because our missionaries have trauma on the field."
Yes. You're like, "And also me."
But as I was working through that, I realized, oh, wait a minute. That's me.
Yeah.
What I'm going through, I'm sort of stuck in this season of what we call sort of a season of no hope, of not knowing how to move forward. So that led me to realize that there was a next step, you know, really what the next step was in all of that. And then it was actually involved in with Wycliffe in the career development department and realized that was really the next step. And so sort of created a program around that. So I started with this idea of when people would come to career development, it's like, oh, you know what? You really need to go work on your trauma first.
Yeah.
And then when people would work through this program, 6 weeks or 6 years. We noticed that they were in a space of, well, what's next? And I didn't really have that with the program that I was currently working with. Mm. Created sort of a three-step of let's work on your trauma first. Then we can see who we are, a self-development piece, who we are, a new renewed hope purpose. Mm. And then sort of do coaching and look at the idea of a new mindset. And so we've created that and been piloting that for the last few years.
I love that. It's so beautiful how you took this experience that you went through and then were able to parlay that into helping other people. And so was there anything during that time for you personally of reentry that practically, you know, helped you? Was it the counseling? Was it processing your trauma? Was it reframing your experience? Like, what were the things that helped you get through that rocky reentry period?
Yeah. Well, there was actually a blog called Rocky Reentry. That was really
yes, I read it.
That gave me, again, just the vocabulary of like, oh, okay, this is something. And I think that idea of like, oh, this is really hard, allowed me to have that space to really, with God, because a lot of it was wrestling with the Lord, because it's like, we thought we were coming back to do this thing for you. And this is what we get. So being allowed to grieve.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just the validation, right? Of just when you read someone else or hear someone else talk about reentry and you're like, oh, wow. Like, this is actually really hard, and I'm allowed to grieve this, and I'm allowed to process this, because this isn't a normal experience for the average person, you know, going to a country, leaving a country, having to leave relationships behind and ministry behind, a sense of identity and purpose behind. And so, it's just sometimes that validation is so crucial to the healing process.
I think that was probably my biggest takeaway from that season. And just that we need to provide, I mean, there are great programs, like 1 week debriefing.
Right.
But it was, you know, the 2 years after when I was still really struggling, trying to figure out, well, what do I do now? And what does that look like? So it was sort of the okay, that's great. So looking at it, that there's different layers upon layers. And then I would sort of deal with this thing, and then something else deeper would happen.
Yeah.
And connect, being able to connect with that, you know, and that it's really a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of learning how to put some new tools in place, and having an opportunity to go back into those tools and spend a time in grieving and spending a time in lament, spending time in forgiveness. One of the biggest thing we realized was, we learned through this process, was forgiving ourselves a lot of just that we believe, expectations that put on us. The book, Expectations and Burnout, was a really big part of my, well, on the field, and then coming back of learning how to figure out what that's going to look like.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the expectations we put on ourselves, especially as missionaries in ministry, are so high. You know, even if we're running a nonprofit or whatever it might be, we feel like, you know, we need to be successful and succeed at our mission. And yet sometimes it's so nebulous, right? Like, what does that look like? Oh, well, I loved people, or people got saved, or I built this program, you know. But then when you're leaving and you're, you know, maybe you're worried, you're not sure how everything is going to continue on without you, or, you know, there's just this feeling of, gosh, like, I had these high expectations of myself, but I'm not sure if I even met them. You know, I don't know where, if I get the A+, you know, on this whole thing or not. And that was really difficult for me too. I was so hard on myself, you know, and just going into therapy and realizing, like, wow, like, I needed to, like you said, forgive myself and let go of some of these high expectations I did have, that I needed to have a certain, it needed to look a certain way, you know, when I left. And so, yeah, I really love this quote that I found of yours. It says, "Us cross-cultural workers, we aren't unique, we are human. And our worldview may be its own kind, but our humanity is a shared experience with everyone we meet. And we are not immune to the effects of trauma, both big and little kinds, or impervious to suffering and sacrifice. They shape us, they haunt us, and they paint a picture of our world." And that was so well put. And I wanted to ask you a little bit about, you know, you, because you have this trauma-informed approach, what kinds of trauma and PTSD among missionaries are you seeing, you know, from what they experience on the field?
Where do I start?
It's a long list.
Yeah, I think the first thing we need to do is sort of reframe this word, what trauma is. And I like using the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services under their Substance Abuse and Mental Health Administration. And they say trauma results from an event, a series of events, or a set of circumstances that is experienced by an individual as physically or emotionally harmful or threatening, and that has lasting adverse effects on an individual's functioning, of individual's physical, social, emotional, and spiritual well-being. It's a long one, but I think it covers everything that, I have a social work background. So, you know, I studied trauma as much as I could in, you know, college 30 years ago. Right. And it was, you know, this one big bad event that happens to us.
Right.
And it's not, it's not the event itself. And I think bringing words into that it's really the long lasting effects of it. So two people can go through the same event.
Yeah.
But one might be traumatized and one may not. And so that's really hard when we're, especially people that are working with missions, is like, is this person across from me in trauma or not? And what does that mean? And what does that mean for me as the debriefer you know, or coach, what does that look like? So I think that's a really important place to start with what, you know, trauma is. Because there is the acute, the one-time event. Right. However, what I see is not just that one-time event. It's sort of this compound event that we hadn't been able to process every piece of what happened to us. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I ended up realizing, oh, I'm in trauma. Like my body was doing stuff that I didn't know what it was doing. And I mean, from physical things, and I couldn't control it, because as much as I love to be in control of things, I couldn't control it. So there's that piece of it. So if there's a big event, that's actually really easy to say, oh, that was a traumatic event. But that compound on, you know, one thing on top of each other,
I love, I don't know if you've read Andy Klober's book, Try Softer, but she talks about the little T traumas. And I really like that distinction, because I think so many of us, we don't define the things that happen to us as trauma. And so we just move on, you know. So maybe, you know, for me, some of them might've been, witnessing the death of a baby, or, you know, grieving someone who died in our community, or, losing the support of a, you know, a supporter or a board member, someone that I trusted, you know, being betrayed by volunteers, or, you know, so it's sometimes not just, you know, maybe being stolen from, or maybe witnessing corruption in your country, you know. So it's not always like, okay, I was sexually assaulted, you know, on the field, or, you know, sometimes, which that does happen, sadly, but there's a lot of the little T traumas that kind of build up. And so what are some of the ones you've seen in your work?
Mm-hmm. So ones that you've noticed a lot of, the secondary trauma is really, we see, we witness things that happen around us that really don't make sense. And we can add on. One big one that a lot of people don't know about is called moral injury. Mm. That's a new one that's coming up from a space with working with veterans, of sort of going against your morals, going your values, your belief systems that you're required to, or even if you're seeing that happen. So that could be, you know, I have to bribe a police officer.
Right.
Things done. You know, is that right? Is that not right? Should we do that to, you know, watching something really, really bad happen to someone else and that we could stop it? And so I think that's a really big one that we need to start talking about, is that place of moral entry. So in our reentry groups, we hear that one a lot. It's like, oh, I didn't realize that was a place of trauma that, you know, something that I witnessed. There's also survivor's guilt, especially during COVID, when missionaries to leave unexpectedly, and then they were, you know, they were leaving their friends behind, and they were going to come back. We don't are we leaving them in a really bad place to die? I mean, and so that's been definitely,
I think that's a really important one that you mentioned, because especially with COVID, I wanted to talk about that a little bit too, because with COVID, we did see so much reentry happening. And a lot of it was, like you said, forced and unplanned and unexpected. And I feel like that just added to the grief, because I know even when I left, even though it was planned, I also kind of felt forced into it, because a lot of it had to do with my health issues and the fact that we couldn't have a baby there because of the different infertility stuff that I had gone through on the field. And so I did still feel forced into it, but I feel so I have so much empathy for all the missionaries who've had to leave due to COVID. And there is that survivor's guilt of feeling like, oh man, like I'm having to leave these people behind and I hope they're going to be okay. And, you know, maybe they're in a bad situation and I'm getting out of here, right? I'm pulling the ripcord. And it just feels like a terrible guilt-inducing feeling, you know, to have to leave these people that you've loved and poured your life into.
Yeah. Another one is just undealt childhood trauma.
Right.
That we haven't been able to, we think, you know, sometimes we get this emotional response at 12 or 13 and we, you know, feel like God's leading us to, but we haven't dealt with those, those traumas, you know, attachment issues, before you leave. And then of course, when you get to the field, it just sort of all explodes.
Yeah. The mission field has a way of bringing all our trauma to the surface for sure.
Right. Right.
So I feel like reentry is its own kind of trauma. Can you talk about how reentry is its own kind of trauma for people that are having to leave?
Yeah. I think what I've seen is we expectation of what we think it's going to be like when we come back. So there's, again, there's multi levels of layers. So why did you come back?
Right.
So I think that's a big area because sometimes the reason we come back, again, you mentioned infertility. We see a lot of reasons people come back is, you know, maybe a health issue, either themselves, their children, even their parents, where they had to come back and sort of do a caregiver role.
Yeah. See that a lot.
Yeah. I think a divorce or, you know, a death, you know, so some of those spaces, working with a lot of divorced women currently, of like, so it isn't just that reentry. It's, it's this, you know, another layer. It's like, okay, well, we might have to work on that first before we can even look at a reentry space.
Right.
That relationship, which of course affects our identity and our relationships.
Yeah.
So those are sort of those bigger traumas that we're seeing in the reentry space.
I think I've seen a lot of, like you were talking about, marital issues, children, you know, needing different schooling or children needing therapy. And then another big one is burnout. You know, that was a big part of my experience as well. So the burnout actually causes a lot of the physical health issues, you know, so not being able to actually, you know, survive over there the way that you are because you're so burned out. And so I see that a lot. I want to get really practical for a second. And can you recommend, you know, are there ways you feel like can ease this transition where missionaries can prepare for a wanted or unwanted departure so that it's not as traumatizing for them?
I think the first thing is just talking about that it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
You know, we prepare people to go overseas, but we don't prepare them to come back. Mm-hmm. And that's a little bit about my mission of like, let's start talking about this and talking about how hard it is, talking with our organizations to say, like, do you have a plan for when people come back? Do you just drop them?
Right. Which we see a lot of.
Right. So maybe there's a better way to do that. So this idea of leaving well. So there's always this idea of like, okay, there's a lot of books written on this, like, well, how do you leave well? How do we put and of course that looks different for different people. So there's the like making sure you take your work and pass it on to either another missionary, you know, to a national if that's possible.
Yeah.
What does that look like? Celebrate, you know, celebrating the things that you done well, leaving in a good place. Again, that's what we did.
Yeah.
You know, we felt like we did.
We so, checked the boxes. Come on.
We built our rafts. We did everything that we were supposed to do and then we came back. So I call that, so we call it three seasons of reentry. So the first one is sort of that space of, okay, we're going to come back. We need food. We needed beds for everybody.
Yeah.
We needed a house. You know, we needed those practical things. So, you know, sort of having a checklist. We have that with our stuff. So it's sort of that first space of, you know, do we have everything that we need? Do we know where we're going to come back? You know, are we coming back to a place like a lot, we have a lot of people in reentry in Dallas area because we're there's the SIL and then there's PBT. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a lot of, you know, just reentry, you know, spaces. Yeah. Because people are working with the org, they're still continuing to work with the organization. Like that's what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
A part of that. And then there's people that just leave the organization. Mm-hmm. And they go and they live, you know, near family, or supporting church. So, you know, sort of thinking through those things of not just where, but why,
right.
You're coming back. And then if you don't have that, if you are moving back to a small town in mm-hmm. Iowa or Ohio or something that doesn't understand cross-cultural workers,
yeah.
And that experience, like, do you have connections with people that do? So those are definitely areas that would be, you know, really helpful to think through. I mean, there are organizations, reentry experts, we do groups,
right.
Everybody, Asmara has a Grace Spaces in some areas in the States, yeah. You know, to just be able to connect with other people. Asmara is also doing a stateside here in end of January mm-hmm. that I'll be doing a couple of workshops at and, you know, just connecting with other people. But that's, again, one of the other right. spaces that I'm looking at trying to create is, you know, a reentry space.
That was my experience was very similar to what you talked about, where we didn't really feel like, you know, I think one of the most difficult things about reentry is you don't really feel like you have a home, you know, because where you've lived in your host country has been your home. And so I know for us, we were like, okay, do we move near family? Like, where should we move? It just, there didn't feel like we had a soft landing place. And so it really ended up being where my husband could get work. And so we ended up in San Francisco, where I didn't know a single person. And I remember landing in this world and feeling like this alien, because, you know, all around me was this, you know, wealth and, you know, people were spending, you know, hundreds of dollars on their pillows and their curtains. And, you know, I'm just getting back and I have like nothing. I have like, a, you know, six suitcases and that's all I have. And it just felt like this, you know, walking into a Target or Walmart, it just was overwhelming. And just this disparity between, you know, the poor and the wealthy, and just feeling that so acutely, like, you know, I remember just feeling like, well, I used to want to buy clothes, you know, a pair of jeans, you know, that cost $100. Now I know that I can buy like a month of food, you know, for my girls in Uganda. And so it was just this strange sense of displacement, because I didn't feel like anyone else around me was asking those kinds of questions or going through that experience of like, this just feels wrong, or it just feels like too much, or materialism or something. And and then mm-hmm. just not feeling like we had a church to come back to, and not feeling like we knew other missionaries or global workers. And so that just all kind of led to the isolation as well, which I think is really big when you go through reentry.
So there's two more seasons. So there is that space that you're talking about that we call restore, which is the liminal space of like, now we've got our things, we've got our beds, we've got our food,
yeah.
But now it's like, you know, we sort of run into this space of that identity,
yeah.
Of, you know, well, yeah, it's not really working yeah. like how I thought it was going to work. And then we can work on rebuilding mm-hmm. out of all of that. So that the second season can last anywhere from like 2 weeks to like the rest of our lives.
Yeah. For sure. In some ways I still feel like you know, I'm rebuilding. Right. It took me a long time. Like what you said about the identity loss is huge because, you know, on the mission field, when you're in ministry, you feel like you have this sense of purpose and you feel like God is on your side and he's with you and what you're doing has such value and importance. And then you come back and maybe you have to switch jobs. Maybe you need income. You know, a lot of people, missionaries, you know, need income or to get out of debt or, and so maybe you end up having to do something that you don't love and it doesn't feel like it has purpose. And so all of a sudden it's like, well, who am I now? You know, I'm not the same person. I'm not needed. I'm not necessary. And so that loss of purpose is really devastating. And for me, that was the biggest loss was grieving. You know, I felt like over there, I was confident, you know, I knew what I was doing. I loved my job and then coming back and just having to, you know, find other work to support us and just feeling like I don't know who I am anymore. And so is that something that you went through or you see a lot in missionaries?
Absolutely. I think that so identity and relationships are sort of those big losses that we have to grieve. So the second workbook is looking at sort of the career transition piece of like, what can I bring to the world now?
Yeah.
We look at personality assessments. We look at, you know, our values because our values change, our motivations change. So we spend some time creating a renewed purpose, a statement that sort of gives us something to use to move forward. Mm. I think it's just different, you know. So it's like a lot of things. It's like it's just going to be different, but it's okay. And there might be, you know, I have people that's like they're ready to move into the next thing, but they don't even know what that is and what that looks like.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, let's just step back. Let's just take a little bit of time to mm-hmm. focus on what that might look like. And that will give you, you know, a better sense of being able to rebuild.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I went through that. I met with a life coach and because I felt so lost, just like, you know, right. And I was still doing work from the States in Uganda. I was supporting my mm-hmm. nationals there to do work. And so I felt sort of torn between the States mm-hmm. and Uganda. And then I was also like, okay, well, what other passions do I even have in life? You know, and then that's actually how I got back into writing again was, you know, rediscovering an old passion, old, you know, hobby of mine, and then beginning into doing that. And then I got into life coaching for missionaries. And it was in kind of finding that purpose again, like now, I think that really helped like heal me and it helped me get to the next phase. Cause I was like, okay, I'm not just like purposeless. Like I actually can do something else in the world. And that's not the only good thing I'll ever do. You know, I have other good things, you know, I can do here. And so are there any tools or resources you recommend for when people, you know, return, you know, that you think would be helpful for them or were helpful for you?
Yeah. So Rocky Reentry is a great blog having that place. So what we've done with Reentry Experts is we've created specific work to do in each of these seasons. Mm. So within the first season, I'm actually looking at writing a book about all of this.
It's great.
So maybe this year. So that's to be a little bit more specific. But so within the first, we've written a 6-week
awesome
journal. There's a journal, and then there's just going through the Psalms. Mm. You know, because a lot of people it's like, oh, I really need to be doing a Bible study, but I just don't have time or capacity to do it. So it's like, okay, well, let's just take one Psalm for a week. So anyway, they feel like they're doing something a little bit, but you know, but not some in-depth Bible study that, you know, maybe they were doing at one particular time.
Yeah.
And then there's a journal that I don't currently have, but you can get all this on Amazon, and it's just a journal to be able to focus and write things out. You know, we do talk a little bit about self-care. Mm-hmm. We talk a little bit about, you know, sort of like, where are we in this space? And so that's a 6-week journal. So that we use that during the first part of the season. The second season is, like I mentioned, Restore. Mm-hmm. That's this workbook.
Nice.
You can buy the workbook and do it on your own. This one's the sort of the trauma one. We talk a lot about grief. We talk about laments. We talk about that self-forgiveness.
So good.
Forgiving others. So it's tools. It's set up for 6 weeks. You don't have to do it in 6 weeks. It's like daily work. Every day you have just a little bit. There's things to,
like, love that.
Where are you in your loss place? And then the third one is the Rebuild workbook. And in this one, you get to create your renewed purpose statement. And again, what do you want to bring to the world? So those are different things. And then, like I said, mentioned, we have groups that go through it together. We are trying to create a community. I did start a Facebook page, but I'm having
problems
getting it.
I think that's crucial because, being connected to other missionaries that are going through the same thing.
And
across the board, whether you're going through trauma or grief, connecting with other people that are in the
together,
same boat as you is,
coffee,
is such a big part of the healing together. Process. And you mentioned self-care. Are there some practical self-care practices that you recommend for missionaries as they're returning? Yeah.
Grace, give yourself grace. Being sort of in a season of receiving from the Lord. I think those are, there's just so much going on, and just I think meeting with a coach is great. We do that within PBT. We have coaches, but we just come alongside people and say, how is it going? Sure. What does that look like? What stage do you think you're in? Sort of having someone outside of that, being, again, connected, I think, with others in self-care. Worry about getting everything right. I think that's a really hard one. It was for me. It's like, okay, but come to it, as an openness that we're just in this transit. The good thing about working with missionaries is that we're so used to living in transition that, this is just a really big transition.
Yeah,
so whatever you were doing, the furlough.
I feel like coming back after we left Uganda, that was really the first time that I actually started practicing self-care in some way. And I did take it, as you said, as a time of receiving and just pouring into myself. And partially, I felt like I chose that, because I was trying to get my body healthy again so I could carry a baby. And so that was a huge motivator for me. But really, God just impressed upon me the sense that I needed to be in this receiving posture. And so not, overcommitting myself or getting involved in ministry again right away was something, like you said, the grace that I gave myself. And just, I would do things like take walks or take jogs, through the forest and start eating healthy and start taking supplements and nourishing my body again because I hadn't really been doing that on the field. And so just little things like that helped, but it was that mentality of realizing that I had been through something really hard and I needed to really focus on myself for a little bit. And and meeting with a coach and everything like that was super helpful as well. Do you have any encouragement for missionaries that are currently going through the reentry process? Anything that you would say to them to encourage them in this space that they're in?
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That you're not alone, or you don't have to do it alone. There are other people that are going through those same things that you are. There are resources. There's a plan. like I said, I'll be doing some more blogs for Life Overseas this fall.
There's this hope.
Spring, I think, Upstream Collective. There are going to be coming more resources.
We can find it again. I love that. Well, this has just been such a gorgeous conversation. I'm so happy to have you. I'm so glad you have all these amazing resources for people available. Shawn, if people want to connect with you or, you know, get involved in any of your reentry programs, can you tell them how they can do that? Mm-hmm. Okay.
ShawnaIngram.com has a couple of our programs, and it's under Reentry Experts currently. Maybe we'll be able to have its own website eventually. Right now it's under ShawnaIngram.com, and there's a tab for Reentry Experts, and it has all. I also have a free digital course that sort of talks about the three seasons of reentry.
It's true to educate the sending organizations that we need to be doing a better job.
And also if you work in an organization.
That's awesome, Shawna. Well, if you want to connect with me, you can find me on my website, www.sritaharts.com. And on there, I actually do have a free reentry ebook. It's new. And it just kind of talks about just some of these ideas that we've talked about here. And that's free. Just subscribe to my newsletter and you'll receive that in your inbox. And you can also find me on Instagram at Sarita Hearts. And please subscribe to the podcast and leave a review. It's so helpful to me. And Shawna, it's been a pleasure, and I hope that people connect with you around the reentry experience.
Well, beautiful ones, I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Reentry is one of the most difficult experiences a missionary can go through. Reentry is like navigating the world underwater, everything disorienting and muted. It's like severing a limb as you reach for the phantom leg, missing all that was before. It is not feeling at home anywhere in the world, but rather feeling as though your home is spread over continents with the people you loved in each place. It is lonely and isolating, but know you don't have to do this alone. Please go to my website, saritaharts.com, to download your free ebook on reentry. And as always, please leave a review for this podcast. It helps me so much. And until next time, be well, my loves.